Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast. And we just finished part one of the open door. And so what we want to do is we want to go into part two here. And if you haven't listened to part one on the open door, you need to go back and listen to it because there's a lot of foundation that we lay. And, you know, when I got into this, I thought, do we call it the open door or do we kind of give it a negative and call it when the door closes? And so, you know, let me just say this. This message can be called the open door or when the door closes. And because we're going to be dealing with both aspects, let me open in a word of prayer and then let's go to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this oasis, this podcast of the presence of the Lord and refreshing and teaching. Lord, I'm asking that you would comfort our hearts by this message, that we would learn something, and that the fear of the Lord would abide upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to go to Revelation chapter 4, and that's kind of our keynote scripture, chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible declares, it says this, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter.'" Now, when we talked about this in the first podcast, he had just delivered seven messages. The Lord delivered seven messages to the church, churches. After this, you never hear the name church. And all you know is there is a season of judgment. It's called the wrath of the Lamb. And there are people who turn to God. They call on the name of the Lord, and they are saved. That's what it says in the book of Joel, what it says in Acts chapter 2. It says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, a lot of times in our preaching as evangelicals, we declare, "Come to the altar, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's true. It's right. But in the context, when you deal with Joel's prophecy of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter quotes Joel. He begins to talk about the outpouring of God upon sons and daughters, and then it kind of shifts and talks about the tribulation. It talks about a season of judgment. And then it says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, when? In that season of judgment, shall be saved." So calling on the Lord's name is how we're saved, but how it is uniquely put into those references of prophecy, it gives people assurance, people who are left behind, people who don't make the rapture of the Lord, it gives them assurance you can be saved. You can call on the name of the Lord, and he will hear you. And, of course, the Bible says that in the book of Revelation that you'll probably be a martyr for it. Now, as we get into this, the focus is the open door. And so when we're reading, chapter 4 and we get looking at verse 1, the door. The Bible has some things to say about the door. Now, when you think about this, I mean, I naturally, and I think this is why I got into this subject, is I think about Matthew chapter 25. And so let's just flip over to Matthew 25. And because there's something here very powerful about the door. And the Bible talks about in Matthew 25 that then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So in this, it's a parable, and we see that there is a wedding that's going to happen. Now, in a parable, there are concepts about the kingdom that maybe a parable is not always going to be fully address all the aspects. A parable is going to address certain aspects, revelation, in order to teach the heart of man. So therefore, when we look at these virgins, they're the guests, because it wouldn't sound right that this man is going to marry all these ladies, right? So the scene is a wedding, and it's a calling to come to the wedding. And so that's the scene. Now, we know those in Christ, we are the bride of Christ, and we are one bride, but we're made up of a lot of people and from a lot of generations. But in order to, you know, you can't really express that in a parable. It causes men to scratch their heads, you know. So he deals with these virgins. And, you know, they're all expectant. They're waiting for this wedding. And there are five that are wise and there are five that are foolish. Now, in verse 6, now this is where we want to focus, at midnight. Now, midnight is the time nobody wants a wedding to happen because you're asleep. Midnight is the time that no one's even thinking about. You know, I'm thinking about 10 a.m. How about 4 p.m.? Those are great times for weddings. But the Lord, in his teaching, is trying to express, you're not going to be in control of the time. You have to always be ready. And that is the whole revelation of communion. People that believe in Jesus don't go to heaven. Only people that Jesus knows and is in relationship, they're the ones who know him and go to heaven. And so, you know, there's a lot of famous people. I could say, well, I know so-and-so, but Mr. Famous Person doesn't know me. So if I go to their house and ring the doorbell, they're going to say, who are you? I don't know you. And I could say, well, I know you. I've seen you on the in the internet. So people that go to heaven are people that Jesus knows. Just always think about that. The people that are in heaven are people that while they were on the earth, Jesus knew them. And even the thief on the cross, he said, would you remember me? Would you know me? Would you think about me? And he said, boy, will I. You're going to be with me. Now, let's look at this. At midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. The wise answered, saying, not so, that there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Here we have a door again. So John in Revelation says a door was open, and the voice, come up here. In this parable of these virgins who are waiting for this marriage feast, there's an open door. But then the door is closed. So a door that opens can be a door that also closes. And when it closes, it is closed. Now, I just think, you know, some people say, well, I don't think that's dealing with the rapture. Well, I don't know where they're coming from when they say that, because it's talking about virgins, people that are clean. They've never known a man. They are set apart unto the Lord, unto this event. And well, why did they all go to sleep? Well, when you're busy with life, right, you have to pay bills. You have to take the kids to school. And you have problems, maybe relationship problems. There's a lot of things that cause us to split our attention on the earth. That's why Paul said, he said, I prefer that you not marry. Because when you get married, you're going to have to devote a lot of your attention to your spouse. And that means it's going to pull your attention away from the Lord. Well, that's why you marry someone who loves Jesus. And so that together, actually, both of your attentions are on the Lord, and you're walking together in marriage. But when you marry someone who's not attending to the Lord, then you've got a split focus, and life has a lot of that in it. It causes you to get drowsy. You kind of go to sleep. But in this sleepy state, five of them were wise, and what were they doing? On Sunday, they were going to church. On Wednesday night, they were going to church, and they were paying their tithes. They were giving offerings to God, working hard, taking a portion, loving Jesus, sowing into the kingdom. They were doing the things that, oh, your flesh doesn't always want to do. They were forgiving people, people that hurt them, people that treated them wrong. They forgave them. And so they were doing these things that were producing the oil of relationship in them. And when the time came at midnight, the time nobody wants, they were ready. And that's why he's talking about midnight. It's the time where either you're ready or you're not ready. You can't go and prepare something at midnight. Either you're ready to go or you're not ready. And the door was open. They went in. Now, when the foolish ones came back, he says, I don't know you. I never knew you. I don't know you. You made a decision. You started heading my direction, but you didn't maintain a relationship with me. And there's a lot in salvation that we don't really talk about. Answering an altar call doesn't necessarily mean you've walked into salvation. It's very important. It's very powerful. But there's a whole lot more to salvation than just an altar call at church. And so, you know, we know that in the parable of the sower, there was seed sown into stony ground. Stony ground got excited. And there was a lot of joy and a lot of testimony about the stony ground because it was excited, but it didn't last. And so the Lord is always warning us about this relationship with him. You don't just start it. You walk in it. You have a fellowship. You have a communion with him. Now, in this, so we're looking at this open door, very, very powerful, very important. And when I think about it, I have to go, wow, open door, open door, open door. I think, well, Noah talks about a door. So let's run over to Noah. Now, let me just kind of add this as we head over to the book of Genesis. There's a story about being invited to the banquet feast, and there were a lot of people who had excuses why I don't need to go. Excuses can cause you to not have oil. Just think about that. Also, there's a story of a man who went to the feast and he wasn't dressed right. He got kicked out. He got cast into outer darkness. Our attitude about how we dress, now I'm not necessarily talking about your physical clothes, but I think there's some truth in it. How we live our lives to be clothed in the Lord has everything to do with sitting at the table of the king. And that's where he's inviting it. You and I are going to be able to sit at the table of the king. Now, I had a friend who's a missionary in Latvia, and he's an American Latvian guy, beautiful guy. And he got invited to go to meet the president of Latvia with some other Latvians. And he didn't think about how to dress. He went very casual. Everybody else showed up in their Sunday best. I mean, they looked really nice. He felt so bad. Everybody had gifts to present to the president. He had nothing. He felt so out of place. So you and I have to be thinking about, hey, we've got an upcoming banquet. How are we going to be presented? Are we going to have a bunch of excuses? And are we going to be dressed correctly? These are real teachings. Whew, very powerful teachings. Now, when we talk about doors, let's go to the book of Genesis 6, verse 16. Genesis 6, first book of the Bible, verse 16. And it talks about, now we're not going to stay there very long, but God is telling Noah how to build the ark. And in building the ark, God says, you're going to need a door. You're going to have a door, because the door is going to have some very important purpose. Number one, it's going to be open so you can come in. You got to be able to get into the ark. Number two, it's going to have to be closed to keep water from coming into the ark. And then number three, it's going to have to be opened again so you can get out of the ark and repopulate the earth. Okay. Of course, you know, those are just simple truths, but sometimes when we go slow and think about them, we're like, yeah, that's powerful. Now, then you have to go over to Genesis 7, verse 16. And in Genesis 7 and verse 16, we're going to read it. I'm just going to turn over Genesis 7 and verse 16. It says, and they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him in. It was the Lord who closed the door. And I think that's important to understand. Noah wasn't the one shutting the door. The door being shut on the ark had to do with time and seasons, in particular seasons, Kairos moments. And the door being shut had to do with God's mercy and God's judgment. So that wasn't in Noah's hands. Noah was responsible for building the ark. God was responsible for bringing the animals. And I wonder, well, let's read something, and then I'll tell you what I wonder. In Matthew chapter 24, we're talking about doors. Just remember, doors. It's God who shuts the door. In Matthew 24 and verse 36, Jesus says, but of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, that's very powerful. My Father only. So it would be good preaching, correct doctrine, to say Jesus doesn't even know when the event of the rapture is going to take place. But he knows it's going to take place. He just doesn't know the day and the hour. He says only the Father knows this. But in this teaching, he immediately begins to liken this to the days of Noah. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, when you think about Noah, Noah had to do with a sinful planet, a righteous man, and judgment, and also escape from judgment. Those are the things that you're dealing with Noah. Verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, when you read about Noah, it wasn't marrying, eating, and drinking that judgment came. That's not why judgment came. Judgment came because they were lustful, they were murderous. And in all of that attitude that they had, they were marrying, giving in marriage, eating and drinking with no knowledge of God. They didn't need God. And they were doing all these wonderful things that God has given us to do, but without any need or thought of God. And in that, wickedness was just prevailing. Like I said, murder, sex, all of that. Lying, stealing, killing. And what you find is a lot of it was, like I said, sexual. A man would see a woman, very beautiful woman, and she's married, so I can't have her. But if her husband died, then I can have her. So all of a sudden, husband dies. And then the man takes the woman, and he takes another woman. And God is like, no, this is not how this is going to work. So God had to put an end to it. And those things were still happening after the flood, but not on the same level. And that's why, you know, in Islam, in the Middle East, that's why they cover their wives. They don't want another man to see how pretty my wife is, because that man will kill me and take my wife. Do you ever notice that men do not wear burqas? They tell the woman, oh, no, we have to cover you so men don't lust. Well, that's true. But it's not about men lusting. It's about a man lusting and killing the husband so that he can have the wife. And that goes all the way back to Abraham's day. Remember, Abraham lived in the Middle East. And he said, hey, Sarah, you're my sister, because if we go into Egypt and they find out you're my wife, they're going to kill me. Now you see where the root of all this comes from. But as in the days of Noah, verse 37, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now listen, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other one left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, the one shall be taken and the other one left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord does come. And that's why we just talked about midnight. It's going to be midnight somewhere on the planet when the Lord comes, because it is midnight right now somewhere. Every minute it's midnight. Every hour it's going to be midnight someplace. Now, in the Greek language, it says they knew not until the flood came. And the phrase in Greek, took them all away, actually is a sailing term. When you weigh anchor and you take off, you begin to float. So actually, the best translation of this is the world knew not until the flood came and Noah's ark began to go up. Think about it. That is actually what it says. So there is a judgment that comes, but it likens that there are, for those living for the Lord, they go up. In fact, let me just say this. When you look at the book of Genesis, it doesn't say that God shut Noah and his family into the ark. It says God shut Noah in. Those family members were with Noah, and the covenant and the promise of God was with Noah. And so as long as those family members were with Noah, when God shuts Noah in, he shuts those in. And I want you to understand, the relationship concerning the rapture of the church isn't with you, it's with Jesus. The perfect man, he is God, he is man, he has the perfect covenant with the Father, he's the mediator of a covenant which he died, his blood signified that he died, so that now the inheritance comes, but he was raised back to life, seated at the right hand, so he can be the mediator of a New Testament, and the covenant is with him. As long as you are in him in communion, he's going to be taken out of the earth. Jesus is not going to receive the wrath of God twice, nor is his body. Now, let me just say this. Identification is where a lot of people who teach about the end times, they miss the rapture. They misunderstand. Oh, Brother Eric, we're going to have to suffer for the Lord. Oh, when the tribulation of the end, the great wrath of the Lamb comes, we're going to have to experience some of it. Then you don't know the scripture. You don't know identification. You don't understand what was given to Paul the Apostle. When you put your faith in Christ, you died with him. So if you died with Christ in his judgment on the cross, why are you going to now be in the judgment of the wrath of the Lamb? You were quickened when God quickened him, and you were raised and seated at the right hand of the Father. Why would you think that God is going to do that to Jesus? When Paul, called Saul, was persecuting the church, Jesus said, "You're doing it to me." Now you see in this communion how close we are to the Lord. The door. There's a door. And Noah went in and God shut the door. And so what I'm trying to say is this. You don't know when the rapture is going to happen, but there's a door and you want to make sure that you're through that door. I don't know when it's going to happen. I believe it's soon. I believe the Lord has told me, you keep preaching, you keep telling, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. That's one of my prophetic operations that I'm supposed to be declaring. Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, and I'm going to keep doing. Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And I pray after you get off of this podcast, you're going to hear these words. Jesus is coming. You have to be ready for him. Now, listen, that's enough for this podcast right now. I want you to go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And sow a seed, an offering of love for the preaching of the gospel. I know that God's going to bless you for it. Until next time, remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready. God bless you. Bye-bye.